Greetings, friends, fellow patriots, fellow citizens, and even non-citizens, and welcome to this Easter edition of the We the People Convention News and Opinion Podcast. My name is Tom Zawistowski, and I'm the host of this podcast and the president of the We the People Convention. And this podcast, in our website, and our phone app, and our emails, and our text messages, and the efforts we make to support conservative candidates and to help other conservative groups around the nation are all paid for by the generous donations of those who support the We the People Convention. And if you have the ability, the financial ability to help us, please go to wethepeopleconvention.org and do so. We'd greatly appreciate it, as this year of 2024 is certainly going to bring us the biggest challenges we've ever faced. So thank you to all who do donate, but we realize that not everyone can. And thank you for all of you who are watching this podcast. If you're new to this podcast, you will find that it's a little bit different. It's a news aggregation show. We basically look at all the news supposed news, most of which is propaganda and mis and disinformation that's intended to manipulate you. And we look at that and we try to cut through the noise and find some things that are actually true that affect your and my individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. And then, you know, not only do we inform you about this because it's important for you to know what your enemies are doing so you can defend yourself, but we will ask you to take action during this podcast. So, thank you for joining us, whether you've been a longtime viewer and listener or whether this is your first time. Welcome to the We the People Convention News and Opinion Podcast. I mentioned it is Easter weekend, and we hope that the churches will be packed, as this is the most important holiday in the Christian faith. It's a time for renewal. As Christ, dies on the cross for the sins of mankind, and the hope of resurrection, and that chance for people to have their sins forgiven and to go to heaven, it's an important time in our country because we were based on Judeo-Christian values, and this holiday just is really what this is all about. So I hope many of you will be partaking in the services this weekend, and that you'll have a great holiday with family and friends, that you'll get together and have a great experience. All right, as you can see, our flag is still hanging upside down. For those who are new, that is not a sign of disrespect for our country or our flag. It's a signal that we are in dire distress of an extreme danger to life and our property, and mostly that's due because of Communist China is at war with us, and we're pretending we're not at war with them. And they're killing our children with fentanyl, and they're instigating all this chaos. We'll talk about some of it, like the squatting thing, which is the new thing this week. But whether it be, the women's movement where, oh, you shouldn't stay home and raise your kids, you could go in corporate America and ruin your life, to DEI and CRT. All that is a communist attack on the U.S. because they must destroy us if they are to take control of the globe. So again, for those of you who are new, this isn't about Republicans versus Democrats. This isn't about, conservatives versus liberals. This is about individual freedom and liberty, your and my ability to make the decisions in our life, to live the way that we want, free from government oppression versus tyranny, communism, where the state is your God, there is no religion, and you are there to serve the state as a slave. That's the fight. That's what we're trying to stop. That's what's happening in the United States. And I always bring the receipts, and you'll see that in the stories ahead. We begin our podcast each week, for those who are new, by remembering the January 6th political prisoners. And praying for them. And you'll see here, I've got a picture of Jake Lang, who was one of those political prisoners, because we had disturbing news about Jake just in the last couple of days. But we're going to pray for all the January 6th political prisoners. Why? Because they are us. They are our future if we don't defeat this tyranny. They have been persecuted, not prosecuted, and we will show you again the truth to that, because they've stood up to the tyrants. They went to the Capitol on January 6th, and while, you know, the left and the media and the communists want you to believe that there was an insurrection, there wasn't. There was a Fedsurrection, where the federal government set this up so they could create this narrative to protect their power over us. But they went there to demand that their representatives look at the 2020 election and question some of the things that happened. And that's what January 6th was all about. Yes, there are some who committed violent acts, and we understand that we believe in the law and that they need to be, prosecuted for their crimes, and if they're proven, suffer time. But so many of these political prisoners just literally walked through the Capitol for 10 minutes. They just arrested a woman in Colorado, 72-year-old grandmother. She was in the Capitol for 10 minutes, didn't touch anything, didn't do anything. They just arrested her and charged her with four misdemeanors 3 years after the fact, okay? So this is the tyranny we're fighting. And so the January 6th political prisoners represent, when we win, what winning looks like. What winning looks like is they are all out, they are pardoned, they are given reparations for the injustices done to them, and most importantly, the people who have done this, the criminals in the DOJ, the FBI, Merrick Garland, the Washington, D.C. courts, the prosecutors in those courts, the prison guards who are torturing these people, who are mistreating these people for political reasons, that they are brought to justice. Again, Donald Trump and we are not out for revenge. We are out to reestablish the rule of law. If someone didn't do anything illegal, then that's fine. You know, but if they did something illegal, like, you know, misinterpret, misuse, abuse their powers, that's what we want, okay? So we say a prayer every week for the January 6th political prisoners, their families, and their lawyers, that they, God may protect them and give them strength and courage to see their way through this horrible experience, which, God willing, will end, well, starting with the election in November, and by this time next year, they will all be free. Join me in just a short prayer. Okay, so I had, you know, Jake's picture up. I usually don't. And the reason for that is that we got a text. It was a Twitter post by Jake on Thursday that said, today at 2:30 p.m., I will go before my federal judge, Carl Nichols, to fight for my Eighth Amendment right to bail / bond. This will be my third and final attempt to be bonded out before my trial on September 9th, 2024. That's September 9th, 2024. He's had at least four other trial dates that all have been canceled and moved back for no reason whatsoever. So whether he'll have a trial on September 9th, I doubt it. I have spent 3 years and 4 months incarcerated without trial. He has a right as an American citizen to a speedy trial. And he's not being given that. And he has a right to have a change of jurisdiction when the jurisdiction you're in is incapable of providing a fair jury. He's in D.C. They've done a poll of jurors to show that it's impossible to get a fair trial. Okay? They won't let him change the jurisdiction. And now they won't give him bail or bond. That's just illegal. But they keep doing it. All right. And so he says, I am being subjected to cruel and unusual punishment at the hands of the Biden regime and the crooked DOJ over 2 years of solitary confinement. Think about that, folks. 2 years of solitary confinement for what he did on January 6th. Now, he did more than a lot. And so I do think he's going to serve some time. But that's not worthy of 2 years of solitary confinement, which is considered by most international rights groups as cruel and unusual punishment. What did he do to deserve that? Nothing. The people who did that to him, they need to be in solitary confinement for 2 years and see what it's like. I'm being denied bail twice before for erroneous reasons. I have no criminal history or a history of violence. The Bail Reform Act has every other career criminal being bailed out like a revolving door in this country, but not me. So I sent out a text message to many of you asking you to pray for Jake, that you know we could maybe get God to intervene and just touch this judge and basically you know get bail for Jake so that he could see his family. He could be out. Yeah, well, yeah, nice try. He said, yesterday was a perfect example of the Biden DOJ's extreme incompetence. My January 6th bond hearing was canceled at the last minute. It has not been rescheduled, and I'm indefinitely detained with no constitutional rights as an American. Brooklyn Federal Prison refused to send a representative to my bond hearing to explain to the judge how they planned on allowing me to review my discovery video evidence. The real reason is because the policy of this Board of Prisons is only to allow you to view your video evidence 1 hour per week in the legal library. The January 6th tapes are 40,000 hours. To review even 1,000 hours of January 6th videotape would take 20 years. Do you see what they're doing? They're just bending the law to make it impossible to get a fair trial. But then once again, oh, you're canceled. No reason given. Why can't he have bail? So keep praying for Jake and the others. I think he said, let me see on this thing. This is, again, a Twitter post. You can follow him at Jake Lang, January 6th political prisoner on Twitter. He said, I am just one of 1,400 cases the Gestapo, FBI, and corrupt DOJ has brought against regular everyday conservatives that showed up at our nation's capital to protest a stolen election and Marxist takeover by the Chinese Communist Party puppet Joe Biden. These court cases are rigged from the onset. We were deemed guilty by the mainstream media and Democrat J6 illegal select committee before we even got our day in court. Or we have been regulated to a purgatory state of suspended animation for 3 years and 4 months just waiting for trial, where a brainwashed and biased D.C. jury, not on a jury of our peers, will find us guilty in 100% a conviction rate. This is the two-tier justice system. This is the federal government tyranny. This is what our founding fathers warned us about. That is why this flag is upside down. That is why you are fighting for your individual freedom and liberty, because we will not be America again until we reestablish the rule of law. Remember, what made us different all 240 some years ago was that all other countries in the world were ruled by men, whether they be kings or queens, dictators, military officers, whatever. Our nation was ruled by law, not men, so that you could have equal justice under the law. Today, we are being ruled by men, not by the law. We're being ruled by men and women who are misusing and abusing the law, okay? And so, next story we're going to talk about is this one. You may remember this picture of this person. This is January 6th defendant Kevin Seafried of Laurel, Delaware. He has been granted early release from prison after the Supreme Court agreed to take up a relevant appeal. Seafried was handed a 3-year prison term for obstructing an official proceeding with additional periods of 1 year and 6 months on misdemeanor charges. So again, this is the case the Supreme Court has taken up that Donald Trump was charged with, and this obstruction charge is at the center of the Supreme case. Look at this appeal, which questioned the novel way Joe Biden's Department of Justice has used it to prosecute many January 6th protesters. Well, the DOJ argues the disruption of the 2020 election certification caused by protesters amounted to obstruction of an official proceedings. The relevant law was passed in the wake of the Enron scandal, a financial scandal from the 70s. They were not intended to target protesters, but people who doctored and destroyed documents to sabotage an investigation by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. So the Supreme Court is going to rule on this. This particular January 6th, a prisoner was given years in prison based on that law, which is probably going to be reversed. But here's what then happened. This is the other part of the story. This is from Julie Kelly, the greatest reporter on January 6th. You must follow her on her Substack and everything. D.C. U.S. Attorney Matthew Graves now argues, and there's a guy that we want to see on the stand being tried for what he's done. Matthew Graves, never forget his name, now argues that defendants in prison on the 1512C2 charge should not be released pending outcome at SCOTUS and Fisher matter because they might insurrect again because it's an election year. Literally, that's what they said. They wrote to the judge who was going to let Siefried out, okay? And they said, the defendant also poses a heightened danger. The country has now entered the year of what will likely be another fiercely contested presidential election. The court would be releasing defendant into the same political maelstrom that led him to commit his crimes in the first place. Really, Judge Trevor McFadden, a Trump-appointed judge, convicted Kevin Siefried of the 1512C2 and four misdemeanors. He sentenced him to 36 months in prison. McFadden just ordered his release on May 12th after 12 months. He also calls out the DOJ's political approach to keeping J6ers in jail. The riot on January 6th, says the judge, was the culmination of a unique, indeed never-before-seen, confluence of events. The government provides the court no evidence suggesting that any of the events that led to the riot are reasonably likely to recur, nor does it point to any evidence that Siefried would participate in another riot if they did occur. Instead, the government invokes general atmospherics about a freely contested presidential election, a fiercely contested presidential election, and a political maelstrom. It then leads the court to speculate that this maelstrom will ultimately result in Siefried reoffending. He said, no, that's not the way the law works. I'm letting him out. And that's what's going to happen when the Supreme Court acts, even though last week I told you about the fact that the DOJ said, well, even if the court throws out this obstruction charge, even if the court throws it out, we're just going to ask the courts to then make the other misdemeanor charges consecutive, instead of being consecutive, let them be one after another to increase your sentence time so it never changes. See, this isn't prosecution. This is persecution. That's what they're doing. They're trying to send a message to you and me. How dare you stand up against these tyrants? How dare you fight in this election for Donald Trump to win? How dare you have your flag upside down or watch this podcast and learn about what we're doing to you and then try to stop us? That's what this is about. This is about tyranny. This is about these Marxists who've taken over illegally our federal government, trying to crush our resistance. And that's why you're watching this show, because we will not be crushed by them. We would rather die than live as slaves, as the Churchill statement at the end of this podcast always explains. Okay? So let's move on. That's the J6 news for the week. Let's move on to a big story this week, which was the bridge disaster in Baltimore. And I posted this video from Laura Logan very quickly after the disaster. And many of you have gone and watched it at WeThePeopleConvention.org. Steve Bannon's interview with Laura Logan to discuss the possibilities that the Baltimore bridge disaster was not an accident, but instead an intentional attack on America. Watch the 14-minute video to hear Laura Logan share some of what her sources are saying about how this may have happened and what the effects of the attack will be on the American economy. Always question what you are told by authorities. who have political and economic incentives to cover up the truth. Listen to them. I'm not saying don't listen to people who are in the government. You have to listen to them, but you can't just accept what they say. But do not accept just what they say. Dig deeper in search of the truth. So you can go to our website and watch that 14-minute video. Now, I'm going to play a much shorter video for you that kind of gives you some idea of why people are kind of saying, man, something just doesn't seem right here. Watch this little clip.
And we'll share it here, which shows how much it had to divert itself. Look at, or how it moved position. Watch this. So let's keep playing this here. Like, look how much it had to swerve in order to hit this pylon. Total change of direction when you see it in that kind of speed with that kind of movement. Really crazy to look at. As Laura Logan tweeted this afternoon, the GPS systems that drive these boats are not encrypted. Journalist Laura Logan, one of the best journalists in the world. The GPS systems that drive these boats are not encrypted. When a Navy ship crashed into a large cargo ship not that long ago, it was a cyber attack that made that happen. I know they're saying that this was not nefarious, but how do they know so quickly? Right, that's a great question. How do they know so quickly? We keep over the past week, we sort of been joking about the Biden administration, like really they were so quick to tell us that ISIS was responsible for the Russian theater attack, right? They told us within like minutes that that was the case. Yet they still can't tell us who killed John F. Kennedy. We still can't provide details about the 9/11 attacks. They can't tell us who blew up the Nord Stream pipeline, but they were that fast to tell us that it was ISIS. They were lying to us, of course. So
the same way they immediately found the passports on 9/11.
Like, yeah, they're laying in dust.
All the rubble.
It's right there. There's a passport. Here are the passports of this guy. Look at this. It's not even charred or anything. But let's take a closer look at one last thing here. Why would explosions go off at these locations? So I've highlighted here in white where you're noticing the bridge. Now I've slowed it down a little bit here. Here's the first collision, and you'll notice an explosion. Then here you notice another one, and here another one. Watch this again. So here we go again. I'm going to replay the second time for you. So on the left side here, first collapse, and could this be some sort of, why would there be an explosion? A transformer blowing? Or is it something worse? And in this piece as well with an explosion.
Yeah, so I don't know if there's any explosion. We don't know a lot of things. But we certainly have to question and get people to answer. And so this investigation will continue, but there's all kinds of things that are wrong about this. The first thing that happens is Joe Biden comes out right away and says, oh, we'll pay for this. The federal, you the taxpayer, we're just gonna write a check for this. Except, what about insurance? These big container ships, they're insured. They did damage. And so Janet Yellen had to come out and say, well, you know, there'll be insurance money, but, you know, we'll need to put money up front. Well, then right away, Buttigieg, right, the boy mayor who doesn't know anything, he comes out and says, oh, we need Congress to appropriate new money. What? What are you talking about? We're broke as a joke. But guess what? You have billions of dollars in the transportation budget, and you're going to replace highways and do things. Well, guess what? This is an emergency. You got to take some of that money and pay for the emergency, just like you and I would have to do in our home, right? We may be planning a vacation, and then we find out we need a new roof. Well, I'm sorry, we're not going on vacation. We have to pay for our new roof. Oh, no. Oh, no. But when we're spending your money, oh, no, there's no end to it. We'll just print some more and create some more inflation and hurt you, right? So that's just the nuttiness of this whole thing. And then, now listen, this is a major port. It's a big port for our military, huge port for cars, coal shipments, all this stuff, right? This is an emergency. Get on it. Let's get it fixed. If Trump were president, he would have been there the next day ordering the ship to be towed away and having cranes come in to lift the stuff out. He'd be on it. You know what they're talking about? 10 years to do this. Oh, because you know you got to pass all the environmental crap. No, you don't. No, you don't. The people of the United States are being hurt by this attack. That's why Laura Logan and some people think it was intentional. Okay? And your Marxist brothers in our government are going to make sure it hurts us by making sure it's not fixed anytime soon. It's criminal. It's criminal. And that's why we need Donald Trump back. Back in the White House so we can get our country back. Okay? So a big step to that direction happened last Monday where, you know, at the last minute, an appeals court reduced the bond for Trump for this insane, you know, New York trumped up charge about him, you know, his banking businesses, you know, his buildings and mortgages and stuff. And they reduced it from $454 million to $175 million. With Donald Trump on the clock to secure a nearly $500 million bond in a civil fraud case, a New York appeals court appears to have handed the former president a lifeline on Monday, accepting a far smaller bond of $175 million. The ruling by a 5-judge panel of appellate court judges is a crucial and unexpected victory for the former president, potentially staving off a looming financial disaster. Had the court denied his request and he had failed to obtain the full bond, Trump was at risk of losing control over his bank accounts and eventually even some of his marquee properties like Trump Tower. For now, those dire outcomes might be on hold with the bond. The bond will prevent the New York Attorney General's office, who brought the fraud case against Mr. Trump, from collecting the judgment while Mr. Trump appeals. Mr. Trump has 10 days to obtain the bond, and two people with knowledge of the finance said he could should be able to do that. He's got no trouble doing that. He said before he had $500 million of cash on hand, most of which he was going to use for his campaign. So that's why it's election interference. That's why the judge made the bond what it was, because they wanted to keep him from winning the presidency. This has nothing to do with law, folks. This has to do with election interference and lawfare. Okay? That's what it has to do with. But the media, unbelievably, came out and said, Trump is benefiting from a two-tiered justice system. This is horrible that they reduced his bond. To show you how detached and insane these people are, Bernie Madoff, the big Ponzi scheme guy who stole $18 billion from thousands of investors, you know what his bond was? $10 million. The biggest bond ever in history, I think, was $30 million. And they're saying you're only holding Trump for $175 million bond for a crime that didn't happen. There was no crime. He didn't do anything wrong. $175 million. And so Trump said, yeah, they reduced it. It's still ridiculous, and it is ridiculous. But you know what's even more ridiculous? The story that came out about Jon Stewart, the non-comedian, okay? This guy who gets on TV and trashes Trump and says, oh, this is all on the up and up. Trump is a criminal. He deserves to be prosecuted. This bond thing is unfair. Okay? Excuse me. That's what Jon Stewart says, right? Except for one thing. Hypocrite. Liar. In 2014, Stewart sold his 6,284 square foot duplex to financier Prague Pandey for $17.5 million. The property's asking price at that time is not available in listing records, but according to the 2013-14 assessor's record attained by the New York Post, the property is market valued at only $1.88 million. The actual assessed valuation was even lower at $847,000. But he priced it in millions and sold it to this guy. Records also show that Stewart paid significantly lower property taxes, which were calculated based on that market value price, precisely what he called out Trump for doing in his Monday monologues. He was calling out Trump and saying, Trump hurt the state and deserves his penalty because by undervaluing his properties, he didn't pay enough taxes. No, 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 no. His valuing of his properties was with the banks, not with the government. The government assessed those properties, and he paid all the taxes they assessed it for. It wasn't him cheating the taxpayer, but you know who cheated the taxpayers? Yeah, John Stewart did. Pandey, who purchased the penthouse from Stewart, then resold the property at nearly a 26% loss than what he intentionally paid for it, according to The Real Deal, at just over $13 million. So he paid, the guy paid $17.5 million and only sold it for $13 million. So he lost real money. Is John Stewart going to be charged? Oh, no, no. Governor Hochul from New York assured New York investors and real estate people, oh, don't worry. We're not going to charge anybody but Trump with this. Yeah, you think that's going to work very well on appeal? You think that isn't illegal, what she just said out loud? You're just going to target one person with a crime and nobody else? Yeah, that's why Trump's putting up the bail. Why, this is going nowhere. This thing is a fraud on its face. It's purely election interference. And I say to you all the time, the process is the punishment. The punishment, Donald Trump's not going to jail, but the punishment is, we're going to use up all your money so you can't win a re-election. We, the people, need to make sure that he wins re-election, regardless of what they do to him, okay? And so I talked to you last week how giddy I was about True Social and the fact that it was going public and they were losing their minds and that Trump could make $3.5 billion if True Social, when it goes public this week, which it did, except for one thing. It went through the roof. It was trading so much that the stock market had to pause trading for a while to get things to cool off, which is a good sign. And they did reopen it. And the stock went up so much that Trump's ownership, which is like 68% of it, is now worth like $6 billion. You gotta love it. Trump just keeps winning. And they hate his guts for that, okay? But maybe God's acting in certain ways, right? Maybe that's what's going on. So then the next thing about Trump this week was that this New York City police officer was killed after making a traffic stop. And, New York had let this criminal out before. And Trump was invited to go to the wake. And while he was at the wake, the Obama and Biden and Clinton, the three Democratic presidents, were in New York at the same time as this funeral at a $25 million fundraiser. Former President Donald Trump attended the wake of the late NYPD officer Jonathan Diller, emphasizing the need for the United States to reinstate principles of law and order. Trump's visit came as a stark contrast to President Joe Biden's decision to attend a high-profile fundraiser in New York City alongside notable figures such as former Presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton, rather than paying respects to the fallen officer. This choice drew sharp criticism from Trump's campaign, with spokesperson Stephen Chang labeling Biden, Obama, and Clinton as the three stooges for their absence at Diller's wake, as reported by Breitbart News. In a brief encounter with reporters, Trump reflected on the tragic loss of Officer Diller, who was killed during a traffic stop, expressing his sorrow and the broader implications of such incidents on society. The assailant, identified as Guy Rivera, had a lengthy criminal record, further fueling Trump's remarks on the dire state of law enforcement and public safety in New York. I understand that Governor Hochul showed up the second day of the wake and was booed and told to leave by the police. So there's your difference. Here's Donald Trump, with the people. Here's Obama and Biden and Clinton with the big money people who bought and paid for them and are fueling this Marxist takeover of our society. And so why are they doing this? Well, because Obama's scared. Obama has grave concerns Biden will lose, is ready to intervene. Despite mail-in voting and ballot harvesting and a host of other perfectly legal ways to tilt the playing field, could old Joe Biden actually lose in November? If a Tuesday New York Times story is to be believed, the answer is a resounding yes. And among the most worried is the sentient corruptocrat's old friend and mentor, Barack Obama. Old friend or mentor, as is well known, is largely an image manufactured for public consumption. Obama actually has taken the measure of his aged former wingman and famously warned, don't underestimate Joe's ability to F things up. If the Times story is accurate and not just another signal that the Democratic establishment is ready to send Biden to a much-needed retirement, Obama is deeply worried that old Joe is going to demonstrate his remarkable ability to mess things up in the coming rematch with Trump and is ready to step in and lend his expertise to the cause of inflicting Biden on America for 4 more years. Biden's ability to ruin everything has been on abundant display over the last 3+ years, so the Times says. Obama has been having frequent phone conversations with White House Chief of Staff Jeffrey Zients to strategize and relay advice. These calls, the Times insists, demonstrate Mr. Obama's support for Mr. Biden, but the paper of record concedes that they also indicate Obama's grave concerns that Biden could lose to the former President Donald Trump. Okay? So they should be afraid, and we should crush them, and we should not allow their, you know, their illegal actions to undermine the will of the American people. And we're going to talk a lot more about that in this podcast. I've got some things that I want to share with you. But, you know, the other thing that's just the issue that is just so, it's just a plan. It's just an attack. And the government came out this week and confirmed that it's 13.7 million illegals so far under Biden, proven Trump's predictions correct about how bad this is really going to be. They keep asking like, oh, it's a couple million, it's 2 million, it's 3 million. No. Wait, listen to these numbers. The new data shows that the number of illegal aliens in the United States has risen to 13.7 million under President Joe Biden, marking an increase of 37%. In addition, now get this, the total number of foreign-born population in the United States was an estimated 51.4 million in February 2024, a new record high. Remember a couple years ago, Obama and those guys would say, oh, there's 10 million illegals in the United States, and maybe it's 13. And then we start seeing what was really going on, and some people were saying, it's 30 million. No, it's 51.4 million. That's like 16% of our population. The number of foreign-born individuals in the country has increased by 6.4 million since Biden took office in January 2021. That's ridiculous. It's way more than that. In October, President Trump told the National Pulse exclusively that he believed Biden would preside over the importation of upwards of 15 million illegals. The new data shows Trump is likely to end up almost exactly correct by the end of Biden's term at the end of this year. Okay? So what do you got going on now? Because remember, go to wethepeopleconvention.org, all right, down there, and go to the video section and search for Ken Paxton. And you'll see an interview with Ken Paxton and Tucker Carlson where Paxton says, this is a plan. They're bringing these people in to vote. They're bringing these people in to change. And I did this story a couple weeks ago that the census counts all the people in a state, even if they can't vote, to then allocate congressional seats. It's about the Electoral College. This is a plan, okay? So now you know what's going on? You'll love this. Dems demand Biden fast-track citizenships for millions of illegals. Nearly 20 U.S. senators have called on President Joe Biden to fast-track citizenship for millions of illegal immigrants residing in the U.S. They argue that those with no criminal history and long-standing connections to the country should be allowed to quickly achieve lawful immigration status, disregarding that their illegal entry into the country is, in fact, a criminal act. They say they have no criminal record. They broke into the country. That's a criminal act. The list of senators include Democrats like John Fetterman, Michael Burnett, Dick Durbin, Cory Booker, as well as independent Bernie Sanders, Marxist, communist Bernie Sanders, who's being paid to help destroy our nation. In their letter, the group lauds the questionable economic contributions of illegal immigrants. The centers proposed several recommendations, including prompt executive action to allow spouses of U.S. citizens to work during their green card application process, as well as a more streamlined process for DACA recipients to move to non-immigrant status. Deportation of all such individuals, as former President Donald Trump has threatened to do if reelected, would devastate the American economy and destroy American families, the senators falsely claim. Before Trump gets in, make them all citizens. They would try to do it. Fortunately, we still have a tiny hold on the House to try to stop it. And we have attorney generals who would fight it in court if Biden made an executive action. But they ain't fooling around, folks. They're trying to steal your liberty, and we're trying to defend it. And this is just the worst. This says it all. This literally says it all about what's going on right in our country. Mexican president says the flow of migrants will continue unless the U.S. meets his demands. The president of Mexico is blackmailing Joe Biden. You think he would even think of doing that under Donald Trump? Do you really think so? Listen to this. Mexican President Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador warned on Sunday during an interview with 60 Minutes, that unless the United States complies with Latin America's request for aid, the tide of migrants will continue. In January, Obrador issued a series of demands for what the U.S. must do to stop the flow of migrants to the border, ranging from sending Latin American countries $20 billion in aid a year to granting some level of amnesty to illegal immigrant workers in the U.S. Alfonsi noted Obrador's, the interviewer on CBS, noted Obrador's demands for the U.S. to send $20 billion a year to Latin American countries, lift sanctions on communist Venezuela, end the Cuban embargo on communist Cuba, and legalize millions of Mexicans that are living in the United States. If they don't do the things that you said need to be done, then what? Asked the interviewer. He said the flow of migrations of illegal immigrants will continue. Right? That's where we're at. Mexico. The cartel-run Mexico is telling you, telling our elected officials what we have to do to close our border. That we can't close our border. We need them to close our border. That's all you need to see, folks. Go to our podcast page and share that story. I'll have a link to it, and send it to your friends and relatives who don't understand how bad this is really getting. And so, the things that you're not hearing anywhere in the media is things like this. Experts warn mass migration threatens U.S. food security. Okay, now what do you mean? How does that work? Mass migration exposes the United States food supply to disease and parasites that could ultimately affect national security, animal health experts told the Epoch Times. With unfettered illegal immigration, signed 9 million encounters since 2021, the normal guardrails for inspection are ignored, raising the likelihood of unwanted diseases being brought across the border. Dr. Michael Victors has been a veterinarian for about 50 years and served as the Texas Animal Health Commission chairman in the past. The threat to food supply is already apparent from the past cases of tuberculosis being transmitted from illegal immigrants to dairy cows in Texas, he said. Concerns are growing that it's only a matter of time before U.S. agriculture experiences a fresh disaster on a grand scale, said Dr. Vickers. In recent years, thousands of cattle have been slaughtered after being infected with drug-resistant tuberculosis through contact with illegal aliens who end up working in dairies, Dr. Vickers said. Strains of tuberculosis are zootonic, meaning they can be spread between humans and animals. One Texas herd of about 10,000 was affected in Castro County in 2015, and another 13,000 cattle were affected in Sherman County in 2019. Investigators found that the human strains had originated outside of the United States. And you're hearing stories about diseases in these migrant facilities in New York City and Chicago that are bringing back diseases that we thought were gone, never to be found again. And it's going to spread to us if we don't do something. But the Marxists don't care. Their goal is to destroy the United States. And if part of that is spreading disease, why not? They sure showed what they would do with COVID, right? So just another example of the effects of illegal immigration. It's not just one thing. It's not just crime. It's not just sex trafficking. It's not just fentanyl killing 100,000 of our kids for 3 years in a row, okay? It's ruining our food supply. It's them. It's the Chinese, you know, and again, all of that is funded by the Chinese. All of that is funded by the Chinese. That's why the flag's upside down. We are at war with the communist Chinese. They are producing the materials for fentanyl. The Chinese have their own ports in Mexico where they bring it in. They have Chinese workers in factories that China owns in Mexico that put the materials together so they're fentanyl. Then they give them to the cartels, which then illegally bring them in the United States to kill our kids. Would you call that an act of war? When Donald Trump becomes president, yeah, I would like to see missiles blow those ports to hell in Mexico and those factories. Blow them off the earth. Then we'll see who's in charge, Mexican president. So then, you know, the issue that was just really tough this year, this week, was the squatting issue, okay? Promotion of squatters is another Marxist plan to create chaos in the United States. Recent increase in squatters taking illegal possession of vacant homes is another plan by the Marxist left to sow chaos in the United States with the help of their allies and local government who pass laws that favor squatters over property owners. Private property is not so private anymore. When normal Americans weren't looking, squatters became cult heroes, don't you know? The left has been cultivating squatters' rights for years. Woke cities are giving them legal backup by consolidating COVID-19 era no eviction rules into free housing for months or years. People seeking their piece of the American dream are now the stars of the left's dystopian horror show. Property takeovers are all over the country, and the nation's woke cities, the stories are legion. Now, if you go to this story at our website, you will see videos, you will see stories about individual people. Here's my first call to action. I want every one of you to contact your local city to find out what your rules are about squatting in your city. And if they are anti-landlord and pro-squatters, you need to start an effort to go and repeal those, okay? This is your property. Again, people, you say, it couldn't happen to me. The stories are, you know, my mother was sick and had to go to hospice and her home was empty and they squatted and we couldn't get our house back. We went on vacation. We went to Florida for the winter, which many people up here in the northern part of the country do routinely, and you're gone for 2 months. They move in and take your house. That's why we're, you know, here to protect our individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. If you don't take action, this could happen to you. And you know who took action? And you know you want an example? Here's your example. Ron DeSantis signs bill that takes sledgehammer to squatters' rights. Okay? This is the bottom line here. This is the kind of action that we need. Republican Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed a bill Wednesday to crack down on squatters taking over homes in the state. A TikToker recently went viral for telling illegal immigrants, how to use squatters' rights to steal America's homes. And there have been reports of squatters in states like New York, Florida, all over, California, etc. DeSantis said, this new legislation will speed up and simplify the process to remove squatters from homes during the press conference on the bill in Orlando. Okay. Now, again, in these squatter cases, people call the police and the police say, I have no jurisdiction. I can't throw them out. They took the COVID rules about, well, geez, you can't work, so you can't pay your rent. And they said landlords could not throw you out when you couldn't pay your rent. COVID's over. They're still doing it. Okay? DeSantis said, no, not in my state. We are putting an end to the squatters scam in Florida. While other states are siding with squatters, we are protecting property owners and punishing criminals looking to game the system. The previous judicial process could be lengthy, but HB 621 streamlines it, DeSantis said. It allows homeowners to ask a sheriff's officer to remove squatters from their property, and it will go into effect on July 1st. If you are the victim of squatting, you simply fill out a form, give it to your local sheriff, and the sheriff is instructed to go and remove the people who are inhabiting your dwelling illegally. Second ask. What's going on in your state? Where's your governor? Republican states? Where's your attorney general? What does the law say in your state? Are you going to contact your senators and House members and say, how come we're not doing what DeSantis is doing? Go get a copy of the bill from DeSantis on the internet and change the name from Florida to Ohio and put it up for a vote right now. You need to take action to demand they close this Marxist loophole. Because, folks, you think this came from nowhere? It didn't come from nowhere. It started with the Occupy movement. Remember in 2011, their answer to the Tea Party? Occupy New York, and they tried to occupy other places, and we beat them back? That was all funded by China. To do what? To sow chaos. To threaten your property. Understand? This isn't an accident. These people just didn't wake up and say, hey, we should squat. They've been trained. They've been trained how to do it. They've been taught about what the law says. They know what to say when the police show up. You've got to fight them back. That's how you protect and defend your individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. Okay? So thank you to Ron DeSantis. Folks in Florida, call DeSantis' office. Call your, he's got to have some of the best representatives, House and Senate in Florida ever, because they pass this stuff like no other state. Call your rep in Florida and say, thank you, man, for defending our rights. The most important right, not the most, one of the most important rights in the United States is property rights. See, in communism, nobody owns property but the state. What made America different was that individuals could own property. That's why they're trying to take it away from you. Whether it's your guns or your house or your car, they want to take your property. Okay? All right. One more story before we take a break. And this is a big story. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. names Nicole Sanneman as running mate. Okay? And so we've been waiting for this, and there's actually a technical reason why this is important, because he is saying that they're going to be on the ballot in all 50 states, and many states require that you have your, if you're running as an independent, that you have your vice president before you can file, okay? So they had to do this. Independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Named Silicon Valley lawyer Nicole Sanneman as his running mate. Ms. Sanneman, 38 years old, was formerly married to Google co-founder Sergey Brin for 5 years. The lawyer, entrepreneur, and investor helped fund and create Mr. Kennedy's $7 million Super Bowl campaign ad. The Silicon Valley lawyer shares many, this is RFK Jr. saying, the Silicon Valley lawyer shares my indignation about the participation of big tech as a partner in the censorship and their surveillance and the information warfare that our government is currently waging against the American people. So he's claiming, I bring this woman in who married someone to help found Google, who, you know, they pretend knows anything about high tech, okay? And because she's going to help us fight high tech censorship? Yeah, right. Where'd she get all her money from? Not a chance. That's why I'm bringing in someone with a deep inside knowledge of how big tech uses AI to manipulate the public. I want to partner with strong ideas about how to reverse those dire threats to democracies and our freedom. Don't be fooled, folks. It's all a bunch of garbage. Mr. Kennedy noted the polls indicating he is attracting young voters and pointed out a particular survey that showed he led all presidential candidates with voters under 35. He highlighted his running mate's age. I want Nicole to be a champion as a growing number of millennials and Gen Z Americans who have lost faith in their future and lost their pride in our country, he said. Okay? Well, Trump just pounced. Trump said, former President Trump called independent president candidate Robert F. Kennedy's campaign as great for MAGA in a post on early Wednesday. RFK Jr. is the most radical left candidate in the race by far. He's a big fan of the Green New Scam and other economy-killing disasters, Trump wrote on Truth Social. I guess this would mean he is going to be taking votes from crooked Joe Biden, which would be a great service to the American people. His running mate, Nicole Shanahan, is even more liberal than him, if that's possible. Kennedy is a radical left Democrat and always will be, but it's great for a MAGA, but the communists will make it very hard for him to get on the ballot, he said, referring to Make America Great Again slogan that has become a movement among conservatives. Expect him and her to be indicted any day now. The former president also added, he is crooked Joe Biden's political opponent, not mine. I love that he is running, okay? So you should go watch. I actually watched this Nicole Shanahan's speech when she was announced. Look it up on YouTube and watch it so you can see who this is. Now, she came from very humble beginnings from China. They were dirt poor, okay? And then she went to school and became a lawyer. She met Sergey Brin in a yoga class. They had one child who's got some disabilities. But listen to her speech, because what this is the completely out of touch, high-tech, billionaire class pretending they know what America needs when they have no clue. It's very interesting to watch this 38-year-old woman and see. It's real simple. RFK Jr. needed a paycheck. He couldn't do it without money. She's dumb enough to give him a bunch of her money. It's all going to go down the drain, and it's going to help Trump win, so we're all for this. But I know, they're taking it as a serious threat. Biden is building a machine to attack him. So that's pretty clear that Trump is right. The President Biden team is so worried about Robert E. Kennedy Jr.'s potential impact, Robert F. Kennedy's Jr.'s potential impact on the election, that is building an entire operation dedicated to attacking Mr. Kennedy. Former President Trump's campaign also figures that Kennedy is more likely to pick off votes from Biden, so he's not doing anything. The contrasting approaches are coming into focus as RFK Jr., who's polling better than any independent candidate since Ross Perot in 1992, faces increasing scrutiny. Yeah, but what did Perot do? He elected Clinton. What is Kennedy going to do? He's going to elect Trump. Trump's 2016 margin of victory over Hillary Clinton in three key states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, was smaller than the total number of votes that Green Party candidate Jill Stein won in them. Okay? So Jill Stein helped Trump win in 16. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is going to be a godsend. This time, Kennedy threatens the Biden campaign's premise that the election is a choice between Biden's stability and Trump's chaos. Oh, wow. Yeah, nice try with that. The DNC argues that RFK is a stalking horse for Trump, who shares a mega donor, businessman Tim Mellon, with the former president. Mellon has given $20 million to Kennedy's super PAC and $15 million to Trump's mega CAC. But that doesn't mean they're coordinating, and they're not, okay? So it's pretty clear for those of you who are worried. Does RFK Jr. take votes from Biden or Trump? He takes votes from Biden. But I have a warning to all of you before I close this half of the show. If you think you like RFK Jr., you better think again. For all of those of you on the right who are enraptured by Kennedy Jr.'s position on COVID, which has been terrific, his book about Fauci is awesome, any idea that he's worthy of your vote for President of the United States should end right this minute. Didn't know this. RFK's wife hung herself in 2020 after his constant infidelity was exposed in a diary. Okay? This is unbelievably sick and typical Kennedy, okay? And I say that as a Catholic who was embarrassed by the Kennedy clan, all of them, okay? Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s estranged wife, Mary, who battled her husband's rumored philandering by turning to alcohol and prescription drugs, hanged herself in a barn on their Westchester estate May 17, 2012. The 52-year-old mother of four, the latest victim of a family dynasty cursed with tragedies. No. They were cursed with their own horrible character, okay? May have taken her own life because she was haunted by her broken marriage, her friends lamented. She was deeply troubled, abused alcohol and prescription meds, a close family friend said. She had cause. She was used up and tossed away by Bobby Kennedy. That was awful. Mary Kennedy, his wife, who hanged himself, had previously found RFK Jr.'s secret diary detailing dozens of his affairs. Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s journal is full of mistresses and Catholic guilt. The New York Post also exclusively released RFK's secret slams against Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, and Governor Cuomo, and insight into his days full of celebrities, yachts, and falcons. Robert F. Kennedy grappled with what he called his biggest defect, my lust demons, while keeping a scorecard of more than two dozen conquests, according to his secret diary. The thick red journal was found in their home by his wife, Mary Richardson Kennedy, who, distraught over their impending divorce and Kennedy's serial planning, committed suicide last year. In the journal, Kennedy listed wives of politicians, actresses, things like that, and scored them 1 to 10, how good at the sex they were. And he kept it in a written journal that his wife found. And you're going to vote for this guy for president? Seriously? He's a scumbag. He doesn't deserve it. Where has this been? If a wife driven to first to booze and pills and then to suicide isn't enough to take down a presidential candidate, and I'm aware that these days that maybe it isn't enough, then I'm not sure what would anymore. What I'm forced to wonder, though, is if Kennedy's candidacy is such a threat to President Biden's re-election, why haven't they brought this out against him? Why did this just come out? And you didn't see it? How many of you saw this story? Go to wethepeopleconvention.org and read it. It's horrible. This man's a scumbag. Now, he may be a useful scumbag in helping us defeat Joe Biden, but wow, I don't want to have anything to do with somebody who is so terrible and does this to his family. Just disgusting. All right. We're going to take a break here. You've been listening to the We the People Convention News and Opinion Podcast, and my name is Tom Zawistowski, and we'll be back after these messages. Thank you for being with us the first half of the show. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you'll stick around for the second half.
The We the People Convention News and Opinion Radio Program is paid for by donors like you. You can donate to the We the People Convention and support our cause by going to wethepeopleconvention.org or by sending your check in any amount to We the People Convention, P.O. Box 6211, Akron, Ohio 44312.
When you're playing a video, including our podcast, you'll see this little cloud button. And if you click it, it'll actually download the video to your hard disk. And this works on our podcast page as well. If you're playing our podcast, and it's going to be loud, so I won't play it for much, but there's our podcast playing, and you can see this little, you know, download button, okay? The other thing you got to notice on our podcast page is that there's a link here where you can send me a message about this podcast. Hey, it was great. Hey, I didn't like it. What, you know, something was wrong, or here's a correction, that kind of thing. You can use that link. And then these are the stories that I covered in this particular podcast. And you'll see there's links that go to the stories, to the articles that I used in reporting on that. So you can click on that. You'll also see that you can sign up for our emails and text messages, but you can also watch our podcast on Roku TV and on Amazon Fire TV. And these are the instructions for doing that. So this is all on our podcast page, right? Right on the front page where the yellow button was. If you click there,
You know, this is our podcast page. These are the instructions for watching on Roku TV or Amazon Fire. And I watch our podcast on TV. It just feels more comfortable. So you can do that. We're also on Rumble. If you go to Rumble, you should join Rumble. And, you know, it's Tom Z at WTPC. You'll see our podcast there. So you can get us a lot of different ways, including on Apple iTunes. And then this is an audio version of our podcast. If you click here, it'll just play the audio of the podcast. It will not, show you the video. So people can, you know, listen to that while they're jogging or, you know, working out, working in the yard, or just relaxing and just want to listen to the audio and not watch the video. And again, this is available on phone, on your iPad, on your laptop, on your computer, any way you want. And you can share, you know, this, you know, whatever you see. If you're on a page that you really like, and you know, you see an article that you think, geez, I've got to share this article, you know, with someone in my family, you can send them an email by clicking on the little envelope. You can post it on Parler or MeWe. If you click on this, you get all kinds of options, you know, where you can put it on Twitter or Facebook, whatever, which we don't support, but you can do whatever you want. So we ask that you share what you see on our We the People convention site, and that you get more people to look at it, because that's the whole idea here, to help educate people, inform them. And then, as I said before, Link, we're not just about talk, we're about action. And in my podcast every week, which is published every Saturday, so if you know, the new podcast usually comes out every Saturday, and in that podcast, I will ask you to do certain things that will help protect and defend your individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. So that's the We the People Convention website. Come back often, use it to be informed, and share it with others. Thanks a lot.
All right, and thank you for being with us. That video is a little bit older, so it doesn't mention our phone app, and you can get that at the Google Play Store or the Apple Store. Download it at WTPC Space Convention. The phone app is great. You can see all our stories and videos on it, but most importantly, you can allow it to receive notifications so I can send you messages that don't cost us anything. Our emails and text messages cost a lot of money for me to, you know, let you know what's going on the website. So I want you to know that. It also says that we don't do Twitter. We are on Twitter. It's Tom Z WTPC. Tom Z WTPC. We're also on Truth Social and MeWe. We're not on anything else. We're banned from Facebook. We're banned from Instagram. We're banned from YouTube. However, that doesn't mean that you can't post stories. I'm banned because of my opinions and the comments I make, which they deem disinformation, whatever. Okay, they just don't want you to hear it. So that's why I'm banned, and we're on Rumble and Roku TV, you know, and on our own website. But you can post stories on Facebook and Twitter and you know, Instagram and TikTok if you want, okay? Because the stories themselves aren't going to necessarily be blocked. So spread the word, okay? That's what it's all about. One of the primary functions is for us to educate conservatives to not have be propagandized and be fooled by the lies so we can defend ourselves, all right? So that's the first goal here. The second thing is to get people to act. So if you watch the podcast, you hear me say it, and at the end of our podcast page where we have all the links to all the stories, we have a thing that says action items for this week. I ask you to call your governor and to call your House and Senate people and your local officials about this squatting issue, okay? Well, the more people watch the podcast, the more people are going to join us, the more we're going to get done. And then the third thing is donations, but that's not the only thing, right? You're all part of this. We're all together fighting what? Tyranny, and defending our individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. Okay? And that fight continues. And so this is, you know, news that I don't like, but you got to know. Wisconsin lawmakers want answers because Zuckerbucks are back. 1 million in Zuckerbucks go to Milwaukee for this election. Now, Zuckerbucks, if you recall, was Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, spent $350 million to turn out Democrats illegally It was found afterwards in all these swing states to steal the election. Most states have passed laws saying you can't take this money. And they're about to pass a law in Wisconsin. Oh, but before they pass the law, we're going to see if we can help a little bit here. Listen to this. Democrat cities get Zuckerbucks again that will be used to rig the 2024 election by targeting get-out-the-vote efforts in key Democratic strongholds like Milwaukee. Milwaukee has accepted more than $1 million in Zuckerbucks, the injection of private money into public election administration, just weeks before Wisconsin residents will vote on whether to ban such funds, right? Funny how that works out. The city of Milwaukee, which previously accepted Zuckerbucks in 2020, has received a new form of the private funding over two separate grants just weeks prior to Wisconsin voters deciding whether to accept or to approve a state constitutional amendment banning Zuckerbucks. Last Tuesday, Milwaukee accepted $786,850 grant from the 2024 election from Cities Forward, a nonprofit that started last May, according to IRS documents. The grant includes funding. Now, get this. They're saying, you know, this is for election administration. But listen what it's really being spent on. That grant includes funding for two new election systems and software ballot tabulators at $146,000 each, a $37,500 text messaging service that would allow the city to contact registered voters and correct misinformation. What is that about? 50 express vote machines at $211,000 for early voting and an accessibility aid on election day and as an accessibility aid on election day and $147,000 for 210 Android smartphones for voting site directors to send photos or videos of equipment issues and more easily ask for supplies. That's not election administration. You're buying the machines. What is the state of Wisconsin doing? What are the taxpayer dollars that pay for the Board of Elections doing? You can't buy your own machines? What the hell's that? And and I'm sure these machines won't be rigged in any way with Mark Zuckerberg paying for them. You know, that IT guy that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is hiring his 38-year-old VP for to know what they're doing? Yeah, think they'll be blowing the whistle on that? It's obscene. It's absurd. The Milwaukee Election Commission Director Claire Woodall told Urban Milwaukee earlier this month that the text messaging service is for the Election Commission to make sure any information anyone in the city is having about voting is accurate and broken down in a way that anyone can understand. Yeah, you think they're going to text Republicans and say, geez, your ballot isn't right, or your signature's not clear, or you didn't date your ballot, please come in and correct it? You think that's going to happen? There better be some damn lawsuits about this, I'll tell you that. And there are lawsuits. And I talked to you last week about, I want you to consider helping the RNC. I know, who you never thought you'd hear me say that, right? But we complained about the RNC with totally, you know, well-founded reasons for, you know, since Trump came on the scene, okay? But now Trump has taken over the RNC, and Laura Trump and this Whitaker guy are running it, and they're suing in Michigan. They're suing in Nevada. They're fighting to change things before the election. I'm asking you to help them, and I'm going to have something next about another group that you may want to get involved with. But this is a big story. Federal appeals court rules Pennsylvania must only count mail ballots with dates and signatures. Finally, a win for election integrity. Republicans won a major battle over election integrity in Pennsylvania yesterday as three Democrat judges voted in favor of signature verification for mail-in voting. The U.S. Third Circuit Court of Appeals, which is made up of three Democrats appointed judges, ruled 2-1 to overturn a lower court's previous ruling that said the state could not enforce dated signature requirements for mail-in ballots. What do you mean? The law says you got to date it, and if you don't date it, it doesn't count. Okay, in November of 2022, the RNC sued to ensure signature verification, and the state Supreme Court ruled in their favor. But this past November, a federal court struck down the ruling, leading to this most recent appeal and judgment. The Pennsylvania General Assembly has decided that mail-in voters must date the declaration on the return envelope of their ballot to make their vote effective. Thus, failure to comply renders a ballot invalid under Pennsylvania law, ruled the court. In 2020, Pennsylvania saw 2,637,065 votes cast by mail-in ballot. And according to the official tally, Joe Biden won by roughly 80,000 votes. Translation, even the slightest amount of mail-in ballot voter fraud could have been the deciding factor in that race. Pennsylvania is critical. It is going to allow voter by mail, then having signature verification is a major step towards ensuring the upcoming election is secure. Great job, RNC. That's what we got to do. So those of you who keep saying, oh, nothing's changed since 2020. Yes, they have. They don't want you to know that. That's why you watch this show. So you will know that. But that doesn't mean there still aren't problems. Okay? So this came out this week by a group here that's a national group called United Sovereign Americans. And they published a story in American Thinker, and this video explains the problems they found in Ohio, which shocked me. Watch this.
In the spring of 2021, volunteer investigators from Ohio began to analyze publicly available voter data for all 88 counties for the 2020 election. The National Voter Registration Act of 1993 requires election rolls to be accurate. The Ohio team collected more than 1 million apparent violations of law that called into serious question the accuracy of Ohio's statewide voter roll database. The 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution stipulates that only legally qualified voters may vote. Evidence shows that thousands of voters in Ohio had apparently registered before they were born. In 2022, the team joined with United Sovereign Americans, a national group that seeks accurate and fair elections, and conducted a new audit of the state's voter rolls at the time of the 2022 Ohio election. The day after certification in 2022, the Ohio statewide voter roll database showed 158,209 voters resided in an apartment or in a mobile home lot, but had no unit number as required. This means absentee ballots would be returned as undeliverable. 4,143 were older than the oldest person in the U.S. at the time, or were too young to legally register. 6,348 showed a date of birth that was different in 2022 than it was in 2020. 243,583 had state identification numbers that had changed since 2020, even though federal laws require each voter be issued a unique state identifier. 34,233 had up to 5 registration records with different state identification numbers, making it possible for them to vote more than once. The 2022 election in Ohio was certified despite 713,296 apparent voting violations. The law of common sense dictates that the number of votes counted must equal the number of voters who voted. 11 days after the Ohio canvass officially concluded and one day after the election was certified as accurate and compliant, the number of votes reportedly cast and the state's official list of legally registered voters as having voted differed by more than 1 million. In January, the Ohio team submitted a written report to Frank LaRose, Ohio's Secretary of State, sharing their concerns about
serious breaches of statutory standards on both the federal and state level required by law. Our concern, obviously, is that the resulting election certification apparently was made despite objective, factual data raising concerns that the state had massively compromised systems, and that the certification may represent serious disregard of the voters' civil and constitutional rights within the state.
The Secretary of State Office's response placed responsibility on shortcomings in county boards, staffing, IT expertise, and database technology, and claimed the core problem is almost always human data entry. On March 6th, along with Maryland Election Integrity, United Sovereign Americans filed its first challenge in federal court citing similar irregularities in Maryland Board of Elections data. Next steps include filing for injunctive relief in federal district court against dilution of the vote and the use of non-compliant voting systems against our right and duty to choose our representatives. United Sovereign Americans is dedicated to protecting the citizens of America by assuring transparent, unwaveringly lawful, and trustworthy elections. The right of citizens to freely choose our representatives guarantees that our government upholds our will and serves by consent. Please support our efforts by volunteering in your state, contributing a few dollars to help us pursue our legal actions, or just by taking a single minute to share this video to your family, neighbors, and friends on social media. For more information, and to get involved in protecting your rights to a truly honest and secure election, visit our website at uniteforfreedom.com. That's unite, the number four, freedom.com.
All right, so I wanted to introduce you to this group who's out there acting. And I know many of you, know that during my podcast, I will say that the narrative that is in our media is that nothing is being done, that the cheating will continue, you can't stop it, blah, blah, blah. But I always say to you that there's millions of us, you watching this podcast, and I, in our organization, doing things every day that you never hear of. And here was this group that I didn't know much about that, is taking serious action. Now, they're going to be here in Ohio on April 10th in Medina, which is right near me in Northeast Ohio. And so for those of you watching here in Ohio, the podcast, I'll be sending out emails explaining how you can get involved. I've also told this group that, I have a personal relationship with Frank LaRose that gives me access to him, and I'm going to facilitate them talking to Frank again to say, how do we fix this? Furthermore, another person I have a close relationship with is Brian Williams, the GOP Republican Party chairman from Summit County, one of the bigger counties in Ohio. And he wrote to me when I shared this information with him and said, you know what? I want to meet these people. If there's something wrong in Summit County, I want to do an investigation. And if it's true, we're going to fix it. That's the kind of work we need. So I personally am going to work to facilitate that. I'm going to be meeting with the CEO of this group when they come here on April 10th to speak in Medina. I'm going to attend that event. But you can go to their website, right? What is the website? It was called Unite for Freedom. Unite, the number four, freedom.com. Uniteforfreedom.com. It's United Sovereign Americans, another group to get involved with. And again, there's other groups. I talk about Catherine Engelbrecht a lot. They're doing some amazing things. They just launched a new Spanish group to fight voter fraud in Spanish precincts. Terrific idea, Catherine. Then you've got Mike Lindell. You know what? They're doing a lot of really good work, and they've got a lot of volunteers working with Mike Lindell. So just don't believe that nothing's going to be fixed and they're still going to be able to cheat like they did. They're not. And the RNC is going to have the lawyers, and they're understanding they have to act before the election to prevent the stuff that we're not going to be able to fix after the election. So get involved with the RNC in your state and help them do the work we need to do. Okay. All right. So, that's another ask. Okay. So that's something you should be down and doing and telling other people to help with. So then this was very disturbing, and I sent this out, and you were all over it. Newest Fed move to take our guns. Feds move to advance red flag gun confiscation. And this is really, what is red flag gun confiscation? It's if we can't ban the Second Amendment and take all your guns at once, we're just going to take them one at a time. That's really what this is, okay? So Kamala Harris had a press conference, and the DOJ waited until the omnibus passed before announcing the new National Red Flag Center. So you wouldn't know that the omnibus money is being spent on that. And Republicans, yeah, you voted for the spending bills. Yeah, you funded this, okay? Just when you thought the Biden administration's corruption attacks on political opposition couldn't get any more obvious, corrupt Merrick Garland's corrupt DOJ has established a National Extreme Risk Protection Order resource center that will help their partners across the country grab guns under red flag laws from anyone they deem as an extremist, right? They announced and said the Justice Department launched a National Extreme Risk Protection Order resource center, which will provide training and technical assistance to law enforcement officials, prosecutors, attorneys, judges, clinicians, victim services, and social service providers, community organizations, and behavioral health professionals responsible for implementing laws designed to keep guns out of the hands of people who pose a threat to themselves or others. Okay? Problem, of course, is that we know who they think, you know, the extremists are, right? It's us. Has nothing to do with due process or anything like that. So as soon as this came out, I said, and you'll see links in the story to this, the next two stories about this, the Biden administration's anti-gun red flag centers violates both the Constitution and the statute that they're claiming funds it. A Democrat-controlled Congress gave Biden administration the ability to block grant funds to enforcement of red flag laws in several states. But the Biden administration has proceeded to take the next illogical step, violating both the Constitution and the statute passed by Congress to implement their National Extreme Risk Protection Order Research Center. On Thursday, Dr. John R. Lott, Jr., president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, and Representative Thomas Massie of Kentucky made the case why this research center needs to be shut down immediately. Let's see. Congress never authorized the U.S. Department of Justice to create this resource center. The administration confuses a grant to implement state mental health courts, drug courts, veterans courts, and extreme risk protection order programs with creating an entirely new center for one of these areas. This isn't the first time the Biden administration has gone beyond what the law allows and done more harm than good. Right? So they're already challenged this, okay? Then Congressman Jim Jordan initiated a probe in the Biden administration's Red Flag Law Center. Jordan has opened up an investigation of the center by writing a letter addressed to Mrs. Cassandra Christofasi and Joshua Horowitz, co-founders of the Johns Hopkins Center for Gun Violence Solutions, expressed significant concerns over the potential infringement on constitutional rights. The letter outlines the committee's oversight intentions regarding the Department of Justice's grant programs, including those funding this new resource center. Jordan's correspondence specifically criticizes the broad eligibility for filing extreme risk protection orders, citing examples from states like Hawaii and California, where a wide array of individuals can initiate such orders. Meaning, your nosy neighbor who's a lefty can say, oh, Tom Zawistowski has a gun, and I'm afraid he may do harm to himself or others. And then without any proof, without her having to verify anything, without them telling me that she made that accusation, the police can raid my home and take my guns if I were in a red flag state, which I'm not in Ohio. Okay? This has got to stop. Jordan's on it. This other center is going to sue. Massey's on it. You should make sure your congressman is on it, because this is a total violation of your constitutional rights, okay? And the Fed's overreach just keeps going, and it's just horrendous. There's no going back. Feds are now hunting down Americans who simply viewed certain YouTube videos. We've all cracked jokes about how our Google searches might one day land us behind bars, not realizing we were pretty much on the nose. Welcome to Biden's version of 1984. A recent report reveals that if you tune into certain YouTube videos last year, the feds are now curious about who you are. A U.S. federal court has ordered Google to reveal the identities of tens of thousands of viewers who watch specific videos within a set period. Let freedom ring, right? Day by day, it feels like we're inching closer to a North Korea or China-style surveillance state, and it doesn't seem like it's going to ease up. Securing the White House in 2024 is critical, but even then, we have wondered, have we crossed the point of no return? Fox reporter Trace Gower did a report that says, Ford's ordered Google to give over the names, addresses, telephone numbers, and user activities of those who watch certain YouTube videos. The feds were trying to find a criminal and tracked you as well. So again, how are these broad applications of warrants not illegal? Okay, this is the problem, and I have a real problem. Like with Trump, they demanded all of his Twitter interactions. So not just what did Trump post on Twitter, but what did you post back? And then they wanted Twitter to identify who you were, and they did. How is that legal? According to Excerpts from the Surveillance Technology Oversight Project and the Electronic Privacy Information Center, interviewed by Forbes, the subpoenas may have violated U.S. Constitution's First and Fourth Amendments. These foundational laws protect freedom of speech and restrict unreasonable search and seizure, respectively. Such potential breaches typically aren't acted upon unless a victim fights them in court, often resulting in lengthy legal battles that can reach the United States Supreme Court before being resolved. So the point is, we're not suing to stop this, and so they're doing it. And so, you know, Jordan's got to look into these things. You know, we've got to pass laws. But this is how bad it's getting, folks. There is no constitution to the left. There is none. Only we believe in the Constitution. We're trying to reassert the Constitution and the rule of law. That's a constraint on their efforts to destroy our country, and they're not going to abide by it. And there's further proof. They know it's illegal. They're doing it anyway. Try to stop me. And if you don't, I'll do even worse. This is something that's just really bothering to me. If you're a grandparent or a parent, you're watching this, or you have, you know, nephews and nieces or whatever. Severe shortage of children's basic medication continues for the second straight year. What the heck is with this? This was going on during COVID when we found out that the damn Chinese, you know, manufacture most of our drugs, right? And we needed to do something about that. This is just inexcusable, and I don't understand it. How women and you know, people, you know, supposedly vote for the Democrats because they're so, you know, care about women and children and stuff. How can you vote for Biden when this has been totally unaddressed? The liquid versions of this medication, essential for treating children with strep throat, chest, and sinus infections and earaches, remain scarce according to the Drug Shortage Database of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Unfortunately, there is no indication that this shortage will resolve itself anytime soon. It's a problem. Respiratory illness season is coming up, and that's going to be a huge issue, said David Margrath, a pharmaceutical research scientist with the University of Minnesota's Resilient Drug Supply Project. Amoxicillin capsules and tablets have not been affected by shortages except to the FDA, but young children often can't swallow pills and instead rely on liquids. Not all the manufacturers of amoxicillin powder, which is mixed to make the liquid form, have provided reasons for the shortfalls. Most are still producing the antibiotic, but have it on an allocation, which means their customers can order only a limited amount. During a drug shortage, allocations help ensure that no single buyer can claim all of the available supply. But why hasn't the supply been increased since COVID? We saw this 2 years ago. It's 2 years later. When there are these big surges in respiratory viral illness and ear infections, all things that come with winter months of the last year or two, the demand has really outweighed what our supply chains can produce. As a result, the shortages are cropping up all over the country and affecting our patients. Not all of the manufacturers of amoxicillin powder, which is mixed to make the liquid form, and provide reasons for the shortfalls. Most are still producing the antibiotics, you know, in a limited basis. Why? Why? This is just, again, you winter's a surprise? You just said that these infections happen in the winter. A normal market that was working appropriately would say, hey, we got to ramp up manufacturing in November, October, September to be ready for December, January, February. Why is this not happening? Why is nobody talking about this? And again, what has been done to produce our other pharmaceuticals that were coming from China? Nothing, folks. Nothing. Because this administration works for the Chinese. Yeah, and those of you who are watching this because you hate us, okay, you're going to say, oh, yeah, Biden works for the industry. Just go to wepeopleconvention.org. Just search on Democrats China and see the links that all of them work for the Chinese. Joe Biden has gotten millions of dollars from China. Notice there's no sanctions going on China. Notice we didn't shoot down their spy balloon till after it spied, right? Notice we haven't done anything about 38,000 military-age Chinese men who crossed our border. Oh, geez, why would that be? if our government isn't owned by the Chinese, including Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, Mitch McConnell, all of that, okay? I don't make stuff up, folks. I bring receipts. That's a fact. Do some research. Go to wethepeopleconvention.org. Search on Democrats, China. You'll see a whole web page full of links linking people you can't even believe to China, okay? This story was weird, and I just want to cover it because I just think it's inconsistent. But anyway, the Supreme Court rejects Nick Salmon's defamation case against media outlets. Now, you remember Nick Salmon. There's a picture of him right there. He's the young person from Covington Catholic High School who was at the Life March in 2021, I think it was, or 2019, and he was confronted by this lefty Native American, and the news made a big deal out of the fact that, you know, it was like white supremacism. This snotty kid from this Catholic school was, you know, trashing this, you know, this Native American. It's all a lie. Absolute garbage, okay? The U.S. Supreme Court has turned down a case against news outlets that conveyed unsupported information from a Native American activist who approached students in Washington. Nick Salmon sued a number of news outlets after video footage showed that claims made by Nathan Phillips, the activist, and conveyed by the Washington Post and other outlets were false, including that Mr. Salmon and other students swarmed around him and that Mr. Salmon blocked his path and prevented his escape. And then basically, the reporting on the incident constituted defamation, according to the 2019 lawsuit. Mr. Salmon, now this is important, has reached settlements, financial settlements, with NBC, CNN, and the Washington Post. His case against ABC, the New York Times, Gannett, CBS, and Rolling Stone was dismissed. And then this appeals court finally said, you know, that they were merely quoting Mr. Phillips, so they did not defame you, they did not hurt you. So, you know, again, I'm not so sure how some of them could be guilty, but others weren't. But I was sorry that didn't turn out so that Salmon could get some money to help fight them. Just like Kyle Rittenhouse, you know, won some suits and is using that money to continue fighting, okay? And he's doing some interesting things at Turning Point USA, like going to talk on college campuses. If you haven't picked up on that, just search on Kyle Rittenhouse and see what he's doing. That's pretty wild. Now, this next piece is just for yucks, just because I just think this is great, okay? In the video posted on social media by a concert goer, John Mellencamp is seen responding to the criticism with foul language before threatening to stop the show and go home. Basically, someone in the crowd said, "How about singing some songs instead of preaching?" Okay? What a pathetic little tantrum, the Australian Sky News said. First the outburst, then the threat they will cut 10 songs from the set and shortchange his own fans that paid to see him sing. Not preach, but to sing. Watch this. You're going to love this. This has happened in Ohio, by the way. I don't know where in Ohio, but it happened in Ohio. You're going to love this. Watch this.
Lefties with aging rocker John Mellencamp having an almighty meltdown on stage after an audience member asked him to play some music rather than preach about politics.
What do you think I'm into, you sucker? Now, here's the thing, man. You don't know me. You don't f***ing know me. Hey, Joe, find this guy and let me see him after the show. Guys, I can stop this show right now and just go home. Tell you what I'm going to do. Since you've been so wonderful, I'm going to cut about 10 songs out of the show. Here we go. A little ditty about Jack and Diane. Two magic kings going in our land. You know what? Show's over.
What a pathetic little tantrum. First the outburst, then the threat that he will cut 10 songs from the set and shortchange his own fans who've paid to see him sing, not preach, sing.
So there you have it. And he says, "You don't know me." You know what? I know him. I read his authorized biography. And you know what? He is a pathetic, nasty human being who basically trashed every person in his life, okay? He's a totally pathetic jerk. Now, I love his songs. His songs are some of my favorite songs. But that doesn't mean the person who writes them is nice. And that's the problem we have. We project their music, their art, their acting on people unjustly. He's a jerk. And I'm glad they booed him off the stage because that's what he deserved. So here's another, you know, thing that I'm loving sharing, because it's, again, us not standing up to the left, preaching to us and telling us what we can do, say, or think. Okay? You probably followed this story a little bit. Ronald McDaniel eyes big payout after NBC drama. So ramifications of NBC's decision yesterday to part ways with former RNC chair Ronald McDaniel just 2 days after her paid network debut on Meet the Press are just starting to shake up, but they could be expensive. McDaniels expects to be fully paid out for her two-year contract, 2 years at $300,000 annually, since she did not breach its terms, according to a person close to McDaniel. That means that her single, not quite 20-minute interview Sunday, could cost NBC more than $30,000 per minute or $500 per second. I always tell you guys, make them pay. Make the left pay for their stupidity. So what happens is, they hire this person because they actually are going out of business. MSLSD and NBC are just going out of business. I mean, you know, Bill O'Reilly's talked about in one of his podcasts this week, MSNBC has less than 2 million viewers in their most popular show in a country with 120 million homes. So they're reaching 2% or less than 2%, okay, of people. And the reason for that is because they're propagandists. They don't do news. And the proof is that when they hired McDaniel to try to say, boy, maybe we need to even it out here and have a conservative voice in here, their own cretins, the people that they've hired to talk this propaganda, like Rachel Maddow and these other people, went crazy. How can you put someone on our channel? All right, and she goes on this Meet the Press, and the woman is saying, you didn't come out and deny that the 2020 election was stolen. So you're doing misinformation. We can't have that on our network. You can't? Well, how about all the misinformation about Russia, Russia, Russia? How about all the misinformation on Trump being a criminal, about these criminal cases? You're a bunch of damned liars. Oh, you don't believe me? Oh, didn't I say I always bring receipts? Yeah, Dan Bongino had this. Watch this.
Line of this dossier, the bottom line allegation, the point of it is that the Trump campaign didn't just benefit from Russia interfering in our presidential campaign. The point of this is they colluded. They helped. They were in on it. This is kind of a real story. The connections between the Trump servers and the Alpha Bank servers were real. They were covert communications that someone was trying to hide, that the Trump Organization and Alpha Bank appear to have been trying to hide. Now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person. A vaccinated person gets exposed to the virus. The virus does not infect them. The virus cannot then use that person to go anywhere else. Cannot use a vaccinated person as a host to go get more people. We and other news organizations have generally stopped giving an unfiltered live platform to remarks by former President Trump. It is not out of spite. It is not a decision that we relish. It is a decision that we regularly revisit. And honestly, earnestly, it is not an easy decision, but there is a cost to us as a news organization of knowingly broadcasting untrue things. That is a fundamental truth of our business and who we are.
After just knowingly broadcasting untrue things, I hope you were laughing like I was watching that video. Okay, and I'll link to that on our podcast page so you can share it. But that's the reality, right? They're just children. They can't even understand that they're accusing Ronald McDaniel of exactly what they did. No. That's ancient history. Forget what Hillary Clinton did. Forget what Barack Obama did and Eric Holder did. No, only think about what Trump did. They're children, and they're going to pay $600,000 to Ronna McDaniel. Way to go, Ronna. That's probably the best thing you ever did as a Republican. Okay? Way to go. And then this is a great story, you know, because, of course, Rachel Maddow brought up Russia, Russia, Russia. So, yeah, watch this. Russia adds LGBT movement to terrorist list and U.S. to ban LGBT flags from embassies. Russia's Federal Financial Monitoring Service has widened its classification of persons and organizations perceived to be involved in extremist activities or terrorism to include the International LGBT Social Movement and its structural units. The updated list can be seen on the agency's website. The move follows a ruling by the country's Supreme Court last November that maintained the Ministry of Justice's recognition of the international LGBT movement as extremist, and it is. Judges also recognize the structural division of the LGBT movement as fitting the same description and outlawed them. Early this week, a court ordered the arrest of an administrator and the art director of a gay bar in the city of Orenburg after they were charged with breaching a ban on LGBT propaganda. Based on the law, banks have to freeze the funds of persons included on the list and suspend services to them. However, critics have argued that there is no specific international LGBT movement and that for that reason, the wording is difficult to interpret. Don't give me that nonsense. There's no specific LGBT movement internationally. It's paid for by the commies. You think it came from nowhere? You think gay people wanted this? Gay people don't want the LGBT movement. It's hurting them, okay? And particularly the trans part, which is anti-gay. But they don't care. The goal is chaos, right? So, let's see here. So, according to Interfax sources, the new anti-LGBT law does not affect the right of citizens to privacy and will not entail any negative legal consequences. The restrictions are linked to the need to comply with a ban on LGBT propaganda and advertising and generating interest and involvement in the LGBT movement, the outlet said. In 2022, Russia expanded its existing list of LGBT propaganda to minors by banning it altogether. State Duma Speaker Valesha Volden said at the time that the proposition would shield our children and the future of the country from the darkness spread by the U.S. and Eastern European states. Yeah, that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. This isn't about gays. This isn't about caring about people or letting you live your life. This is about indoctrinating children using psychological warfare. It's about just making them incapable when they're young people of discerning the truth and confusing them, okay? It's a plan. Go back a couple weeks in podcast. Did the story where Breitbart News identified two Chinese billionaires who have funded the entire trans movement in the U.S., You think they aren't doing it in other Western countries? The flag's upside down for a reason. We're at war with China. Russia is at least smart enough to know that. Remember, everybody thinks they're the Soviet Union. They're not. They're Russia. They're a country. The Soviet Union was a communist thing. Russia's not communist anymore. Oh, they don't want you to remember that, do they? No. And then across the Atlantic, Bloomberg reported that American embassies around the world will not be able to fly the rainbow, progress, or Black Lives Matter banners this summer. The White House agreed to this prohibition to get the $1.2 trillion spending bill through Congress. Didn't know that. Now, this statement I don't agree with. House Speaker Mike Johnson has presented the flag amendment as a major victory, while the Democrats have used it to accuse the GOP of being mean and homophobic. Well, first of all, Mike, it ain't a major victory. Shutting the border, that's a major victory. You didn't do that. Not hanging gay flags on our embassies is nice, but it ain't no major victory. Okay? Got a long way to go, folks. Got a long way to go. But we're making progress. You want to see progress? Here it is. You never thought you'd see this. Shuttered Michigan nuclear plant gets $1.5 billion in federal loans to restore operations by 2025 and could power at least 800,000 homes. U.S. Secretary of State Jennifer Granholm said Wednesday And get this. Nuclear power is our single largest source of carbon-free electricity, directly supporting 100,000 jobs across the country and hundreds of thousands of jobs more indirectly. President Biden's Investing in America agenda is supporting and expanding this vibrant and clean energy workforce here in Michigan with significant funding for the Holtec Palisades nuclear power plant. Okay, now this is after they stopped all nuclear. The environmental, you know, anti-American communists who are using the environment to stop capitalism, okay? They don't want any nuclear power plants, even though everyone like Michael Schnellenberger and everybody that is into the climate thing has said, you're for low carbon. Nuclear is safe and no carbon. What's going on? Well, the Green New Deal is dying, folks. That's what's going on. They can't sell any EV cars. They can't, all the solar farms. I don't know if you saw the story about the solar farm in Texas that was like, I think they said it was like 100 football fields, solar farm, and they had a hailstorm with hail the size of softballs. Smashed the solar panels to pieces. They're done, and they're leaking toxic chemicals. Yeah, the Green New Deal is dead. So guess what? We're putting up, we're opening up, reopening a shuttered nuclear plant. The media, let's see, the plant is in Van Buren County, about 40 miles west of Kalamazoo, which is a home to around 3,000 people. The median income for households in the township was $22,892, and the median income for a family was only $28,586. This is a poor area, folks. Florida-based Holtec said the plant would employ more than 600 workers, with about 45% of the workforce at the site coming from union labor once restarted. An additional 1,000 jobs are expected to be added over time. That's a win, folks. That's a win. We're beating them back. We're fighting. We're beating them back. Now, I usually close the show, you know, with a little bit of a pep talk because, you know, everyone needs a pep talk once a week, right? But I came across this and I want to play it for you because this is the master. I can't hold a candle to this guy. Listen what he has to say.
You know, people call here and now. Rush, you always told us. You told us when it's going to be time to panic. Well, is it time to panic? Well, let me just tell you, folks, it's never going to be time to panic because we're never going to give up. We're not going to give up on America. I'm not. I don't think most of you are either. And while we have that attitude of not giving up, we are constantly going to be searching, strategizing, coming up with ways to prevail. We've got the basics. We have millions and millions of Americans that are fed up, can't wait to do something about it. There will be a series of ideas that people come up with based on dealing with the fraud that we know we have to deal with. But America's worth it. America is worth fighting for. America's worth not giving up. And that's why I think whatever form it takes, we will continue to fight for and to defend and to triumph. I know the odds are, I mean, they're stiff and they're steep. The American left is made up of a lot of people that hate this country. Hate is a very, very destructive frame of mind. It's a very, very destructive characteristic. And eventually it results in implosion. You cannot survive on hatred. You cannot sustain a movement based on it. We just need to be patient while being vigilant and continuing to fight for what we believe in, knowing full well that we can prevail.
And that's the truth. Never give up. Don't be a hater. We're not haters. We love our country. We love freedom and liberty and prosperity. We don't want things just for us. Oh, I'm gay, give me this. I'm this race, give me that. You never hear us say that. We want everyone to prosper. That's what America's about. Equal opportunity, right? Not equity. That's communism, right? We love our neighbors. We love our community. We love our state. We love our country. We love our God, right? And you've got to use your love to give you the courage to fight. As Rush said, never give up. Their hate will destroy them. Our love will defeat them. And on this Easter weekend, where, you know, what greater love can there be than Jesus Christ, you know, dying on the cross for our sins and resurrecting to give us the chance to go to heaven? But that's love, right? But remember, you still have to fight. And that sometimes Christians don't get that part of it. Read the Bible. Listen to what God says. It's not all just turn the other cheek. It sure as hell not. It's to bring justice to people who are unjust. And so I hope you enjoy your holiday weekend, your Easter weekend, as spring comes. And you are with your family and friends. And you love each other. And you talk about how you can't wait for freedom and liberty to return. You can't wait for the courts to become just again. You can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. I hope in a year or two, I never hear about another court case in my life, because I don't want to know about that. I shouldn't have to worry about that. I never had to worry about that. Now, all it's about is court. Why? Because all of our systems have been attacked by the left, and we have to go to the courts to stop them. We got to stop them before that. We got to stop them in their tracks, right? We got to stop them at the local level, at our personal level. And that's what it's all about. So I can't thank you enough for, you know, tuning in to watch our podcast. I want to thank those not only who give to the We the People Convention, but many of you are donating to our 2024 Victory Fund. It's been interesting to have this week where things have just quieted down because the Ohio election is over. It's unbelievable. I mean, my emails are like 10% of what they were a week ago. I have actually looked at my phone and there wasn't a new text message. Okay. It's fantastic because I've been able to think, and I'm thinking about where in the United States can we, the people in the We the People Convention, do things to help? Can we help Kerry Lake in Arizona? Can we do something in Wisconsin? Can we make a donation to RNC? Or can we get you involved with these other election integrity groups? We've got lots of work to do. Your donations to freedomforallpack.org, freedomforallpack.org, helps us do those things for our 2024 Victory Fund. And I thank all of you for doing that. I want to thank all of you who are watching this podcast and ask you, go out of your way to tell people about it. Spread the word. Copy the link on the podcast page and put it in your social media. Email it to people. Text it to people. And if you have questions or comments or stories, send them to me at info@wethepeopleconvention.org. info@wethepeopleconvention.org. Most of the stories in this show that you haven't heard from anywhere, I wouldn't have heard from if you didn't send them to me. That's why this show has such unique content, because we had things you haven't heard about. Because why? We have 100,000 members, people in all 50 states who are active, who are working every day to be educated about what's actually going on. What is a threat to my individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity, and how can I fight it? And together, sharing this through this podcast and our website as a nexus, we inform hundreds of thousands of more people. I can't thank you enough for being a supporter and a member of the We the People Convention. Thank you so much for that. I just hope that, you know, you're glad that you're a member and that you get lots of benefit from, you know, being a member by watching this podcast and doing the things that we ask you to do. So I'm going to close for now. I want to wish you all a happy Easter. I hope you are healthy and happy. And if you're not healthy, I hope you're getting better. And I ask you to pray for the January 6th political prisoners. pray for President Trump, and pray for us. Pray for God to give me wisdom and courage, wisdom to know what to do. Right now I'm asking God a lot of questions about that, and then the courage to do it. And so pray for Nan and I as well. I'd really appreciate that. And so have a good week. God willing, we'll both be back next week. You've been listening to the We the People Convention News and Opinion Podcast, and my name is Tom Zawistowski. God bless you, and God bless America.